You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Coming up, we have an interview with Olivia Asher. She is an emerging artist practicing here in Tamaki Makaurau. Studying at the Elam School of Fine Arts and Design, she is a self-described garden variety artist and has a broad practice spanning across paint, text, embroidery and ceramics, to name a few. She recently had a show at Window Gallery and has new ceramic works heading down to Coco, a concept store in Pōneke, next week. This week for the show, I thought I'd catch Olivia in between these two events to talk about her practice and life as an emerging artist.
I'm here with Olivia Asher. Morena, Olivia.
Good morning.
You are a self-described garden variety artist. Can you tell me what that actually means in your practice?
Yes. I think the traditional sense is that garden variety is just quite generic. But for me, my version of garden variety is I like to dabble in multiple things.
What sort of mediums are you dabbling in at the moment?
At the moment, embroidery, ceramics. There's always a bit of painting going on, some weaving as well. Yeah. Currently, like, that's what I'm working on.
With painting, is that a base of your practice? Is that what you started out in and then you kind of dipped into these other mediums?
Yeah, painting is where I started. Originally, when I wanted to become an artist, I thought, I want to be a painter. That seems cool. Yeah. Seems like a cool lifestyle. But coming into going to Elam, I realised that I didn't want to just be confined to one medium. But that is where it started and where kind of I always retreat back to.
Mm. And let's talk about Elam quickly. So you are in your final year.
Correct.
What is being an art school like as an emerging artist? What does a day look like?
A day in the life of an art student. Lots of coffee. Yeah. Morning, like standard. Bumbling around the studio, kind of figuring out what to do. With me, I become very like tunnel vision with my assignments. So I can't work on anything else until I have this one thing complete. Otherwise, you know, you get a bit overwhelmed. Generally, in the studio, making something. I usually watch TV shows.
Great.
I just get sick of listening to music. And then podcasts are great as well. But I usually smash out a few seasons of something while I'm making. Just because it is quite mindless and tactile, especially when I'm doing ceramics.
We'll talk about your ceramic work very soon.
Cool.
You've got some exciting things coming up with ceramics, but you recently had a show at Window Gallery, I believe, by the name of I Want to Be Adored. Can you tell me a bit about that show?
Yeah, it was quite impromptu. They approached me asking if I wanted to do a show for them because they had a gap in the schedule. And I did a show for them last year, but online. So this show, I Want to Be Adored, is primarily painting with like a little bit of sculpture. I want to say ceramics, but it's air dry clay, so there's like a little bit of blurred lines there. It is about decorativism and the ornate adornment of these elaborate crown pieces and kind of the female, I want to say, matriarchal figure.
I had the privilege of actually seeing the show very close by to us at the university, and the paintings are they're huge in scale, but they're not traditional paintings as listeners might imagine them as sort of acrylic or oil on canvas. Can you explain a little about the framing and the materials that you used?
Yeah, so I like to use unprimed materials. I paint a lot on chiffon or sheer fabric, just because the paint reacts differently with that kind of material. It runs, and I really love the materiality of paint, so I love getting that kind of watercolour aesthetic with painting on chiffon. And they are pretty big, like wall size. And I think with the fabric, without having it stretched, I like the draping of it. It seems very soft and tender, and I think that lends itself to kind of the theme of what I was going for with the show.
And what was the painting process like? They're quite quick gestural movements. To me, it seems there's not a lot of working or fine detail that's gone into it. So how did you actually come to realise that gesturally?
I think it's because of what I was painting on with chiffon. It's quite different to, you know, a primed canvas where you can, you do have that ability to work it up because it's not getting soaked through.
Mm.
Whereas with chiffon, as soon as you put it on, it'll soak it up, it'll bleed out, and you kind of can't overwork it. Like, there's a few pieces that I didn't put in the show because I had just kept going and going, and then it just creates this muddy look. Thankfully, I'm quick at the paintings, so I can just slap some paint on and it looks all right.
And let's talk about another of the garden varieties.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about your ceramic work. So you've got some works heading down to Coco. What are they? Concept Store?
Concept Store, yeah.
Down in Pōneke next week. So can you tell me a little bit about those ceramic works?
They are all actually functional pieces. Speaking with Nadia and Prague at Coco, they kind of had an emphasis on the functionality of art and that being important and not just, you know, being, not that there's anything wrong with artwork being ornate or decorative, but these works are vessels and candelabras. That's what's predominantly going down. It's kind of just an excuse for me to make what I wanted to make.
Yeah.
And they gave me that freedom, which was really cool and fun. A lot of my works kind of highlight, you know, Moana, ocean, sea, with the glazes and the use of shells, which is linked directly to Coco. You know, it translates to swim or bathe, which is pretty cool.
Was that intentional?
I don't know. I think when they first approached me, I was kind of just like dumbfounded, like, oh my God, this place wants to stock my stuff. I didn't really do any research into it or actually look at what else they stock, but I was reading about them recently and I think that was on purpose. The ceramics that they saw of mine, I had already been starting to use shell as a predominant, you know, motif in a lot of the work. So I think that's something they wanted for their store.
And you mentioned just there the delight in being asked to have work sold. What does it actually mean for you as an emerging artist to have work out?
It means a lot. It's kind of tricky to navigate because I want to say yes to everything, but I also have this degree that I need to finish. But it's a little bit shocking, not in a negative sense, but kind of like, okay, people are actually looking at my work and they like it. Mm. That's kind of cool. Yeah, I'm just really grateful.
People obviously really do like your work, so much to the point that they'll often have it on their bodies. You are also a tattoo artist.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about when that started and what kind of tattoo work you do?
So I'm self-taught, which is not always the way to go in the industry, or not always, you know, looked fondly upon. But I've been collecting tattoos since I was quite young, regularly. Like, I'm quite covered. So just being in the studio with other artists and watching them do it, I kind of just slyly just noticed certain things that they were doing. And then I just started stick and poking. I think that's where a lot of self-taught, especially tattoo artists, start, because it is really, it's a slower process. You actually can see every single mark that you make. And it's a good intro without the kind of intenseness of a machine. And the noise and just like, ooh,
best my hand doesn't slip kind of thing.
Yeah, I started a little while ago. It was kind of just a side hustle. It still is. But I really enjoy it. It's a nice exchange between people.
Mm.
I think that kind of experience gets lost in a lot of the commercial work you see in amongst tattooers today, is that, you know, experiences I've heard from friends is it wasn't very good, it felt very transactional, and I think it's important for it to be, you know, a sacred kind of experience between two people.
Yes, absolutely, and it's because of its permanence.
Yeah.
The experience of having the work put on you always remains.
Yeah. I think I did two sets of, like, four hearts on Shania.
Oh, beautiful.
On her bicep, on her arm, on her shoulder. And they're very cute and dainty. But they just look really nice, and it's always fun hanging out with her.
Cool. Yeah. Hey, thanks so much, Liv. And if people want to see your work online, where can they go to do that?
Yeah, so it's just on my Instagram, which is Olivia, two underscores, Asher.
And if any listeners are down in Pōneke and they'd like to head into Koko, when will your works be in there?
We're aiming for, depending on how fast these couriers are, next Thursday, which I think is Thursday the 25th.
Awesome.
I have to fact check that. But yeah, from next weekend.
I actually didn't fact check that. I don't know if it is Thursday 25th, but I guess you can look at your calendar and find out. That was emerging artist Olivia Asher talking with me about her many avenues of creative work.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.